Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, live from KeyBank Center. This is the postgame show on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Throws it down below the goal line, right in front, save, rebound, scores! Jeff Skinner stayed with it. And with 12:15 remaining in the third, the Sabres cut the lead in half.
Well, we got to start with some positives, right? Sabres getting a goal in the third, 6-3 on a night that had a lot of negatives for Buffalo. For the Sabres, we're going to call that the play of the game tonight. Jeff Skinner scoring because he hits a benchmark, 30. That's the sixth time he's hit 30 goals this season. So for Jeff Skinner, it's the play of the game. Brought to you by NOCO, delivering comfort in homes and businesses since 1933. Back here on the post-game show at the Press Box, Brian Colziel and Pat Mollicaro will be heading out of the room shortly with Paul Hamilton to get some player reaction. Pat, another night where we see the puck going in the net against the Sabres quite a bit now. Another seven goals. Back-to-back, we saw the 10 spot that Dallas did a few games ago here. Right now, the defense and the goaltending is just not getting it done.
Yeah, and it's surprising. We talked about it a little bit in the Sabres last game. Yes, they might have hit a wall, but you're expecting the effort and the intensity to be there, and that really is the thing that has been lacking so much for the Sabres, and it is surprising that you might not win games, but what was fun about the Sabres last year at this point, they were winning games, but they were also fun to watch, and at this point, they just seem to not be able to replicate a lot of that.
Last March at this time, it was thinking about what this year, at that time, next year, next season, could be about, and now you get here, it's been exciting up until about a week ago.
And it's amazing. It's surprising how quick it changed.
Yeah.
On the flip of a switch, things have turned around the Sabres in the wrong direction. And it just, again, with the way that the play has gone, you just don't see how they're going to get themselves out of it.
Yeah, even on nights in this losing streak here, 10 of 12 that they've lost, when they've scored, they've just gotten very, very poor defense, very, very poor coverage. Paul's been using the word lack of awareness quite a bit. That's a thing that was of years past that we thought maybe had been gone. And, you know, I feel for Craig Anderson tonight. He definitely did not have a good game. But, you know, this is probably – he wants to finish his career strong here. And he knows he's probably got a couple of starts left. This is not a good one for him.
Right, and I'm sure he would tell you there are a couple of goals that he want to have back. But you're right. I mean, for a player who's been so dependable for the Sabres team in the last 2 years and somebody who's probably been counted on as a leader on this team, definitely don't want to see something like that tonight, and hopefully his next appearance will go better.
Yeah, Lukanen came in late second period and faced six shots, stopped them all. The seventh goal was into the empty net.
And a couple of shots early were high-quality chances for Nashville. This thing could have – it was a runaway train. It could have gotten even worse for the Sabres had Lukanen not made a few of those saves.
7-3 Nashville victorious over Buffalo. Buffalo next plays Friday night here against New Jersey. As we are ready to head down to the room, let's go to Tage Thompson, live first with Paul.
Tage, for the first 40 minutes, it just seemed to get worse and not better. It seemed like you guys, every time you handled the puck, it was almost a giveaway and off they go on and outnumbered. What was going on out there?
Yeah, just sloppy with the puck. And I think when you're fighting the puck, that's when you just got to simplify. I think where you're trying to correct it by doing too much. And I know me in particular, too, just some of those nights where you're not feeling the puck and just don't feel like you have your hands going, that's when you got to simplify and just chip pucks in and go to work down there until you find your game. And we did the opposite, I think. And, it gets us behind early and then we're chasing the game. So it's one of those things where we got to learn how to simplify when things aren't going our way instead of compounding errors.
Tage, where is the team that played the first 60 games this season?
They're looking at it. It's the same team right here. It's just we're at a different point in the season now. We're facing adversity and we're going through things this group hasn't gone through before. So, it's new for everyone. It's not an excuse, but it's something we're going to learn and grow together. I mean, look around the room. I think there's probably only two guys that have ever been in this situation, probably Andy and Oki, where you look at they've been in playoff games and this is all new to us, so we're leaning on those guys heavily right now, trying to learn and grow each day. And obviously, there's a lot of pressure, and we can feel that. I think this is the first time in a while, this team's been close to playoffs. So we wanted to be the group that can push and get there. So with that comes that added pressure, but we got to learn how to play with it, and that's something we're learning to do right now. So like I said earlier, it's just we're the same team. Just got to continue to simplify when things get difficult, not complicate the game for ourselves. A lot of it is self-inflicted, so the good news about that is we can clean that up.
You found the net with the shot. Is that something now that can get you rolling?
Yeah, I hope so. I feel like I've had a lot of good looks in recent games, and they just weren't going in. So hockey's like that. Sometimes they go in for you in waves, and sometimes they don't. So been getting chances, and it's nice to find the back of the net now, but obviously more importantly is getting wins and helping the team. And I think that's something where when I'm putting the puck in the net, that's definitely helping the team. And I think hopefully we can roll from here.
As much as you guys have struggled defensively recently, how bad do you feel for Anderson given what he's given you this year that he had to go through a game like that?
Yeah, you never want to see that, and that's on us. And I think everyone in here takes that to heart, and we feel terrible leaving him out to dry like that. And that's something we've done not just tonight, of past few games. So it's a tough one to see, and we owe him a lot more.
The fight, did he just ask you to go after that hit on Glass?
Yep.
Isn't the situation with the playoff race and all of that that causes one mistake to turn it to 3-4?
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's that new sense of pressure that we feel, and you got to learn how to play with that pressure and overcome it. And I think it's definitely one of the reasons, but whatever that perceived pressure or feeling of pressure is, that's just a mindset. So something that you can fix just with an attitude. So just got to approach it with the confidence we had the first half of the season, not afraid to make plays, and I think we'll be fine.
Tage Thompson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Paul. Tage Thompson tonight getting his 43rd of the season, snapping an 8-game scoreless drought. Pat, we've been so used to Thompson just scoring pretty much like every night almost. It's a long drought for him and a great season.
Yeah, and maybe that goal is the one that gets him going, and we initially didn't know if it went in the net. It was such a quick in and out. But that's the patented shot that really has carried him this season, and the special teams has not gone well. Tage Thompson was in a drought. He scores in the power play tonight. No coincidence that the power play gets a goal when he does.
Thompson tonight had the goal, -2, 3 shots on goal to lead the Sabres. There were a couple of other players with 3 on this team who ends up with 31 at the end of the night. Nashville with 27. You mentioned the power play. Buffalo going 1 of 5. Nashville 0 of 3. Your stats brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Back to the room. Jeff Skinner live.
Thanks, Brian. Jeff, it just seems like it's getting worse and worse as far as turnovers. And in the first 40 minutes, it seemed like every time you guys handled the puck, you were giving it away, and it's 2-on-0, 2-on-1, 3-on-1. How can you guys turn it around? As I said, it just seems like it's getting worse.
Oh, we just got to work. Got to work through it. Obviously, we're pressing. You're pressing, trying to make plays that aren't there. And other teams take advantage. So I think that's the bottom line. Obviously, guys care and guys don't want to make mistakes. It's just sometimes you get in a bit of a slide, or you're not feeling confident. You sort of try and force plays that aren't there, and guys are too good in this league. They take advantage of those mistakes, and then obviously it ends up in the back of our net.
But if you look at your team, from what we saw earlier in the season, aren't you guys too good to be playing like this?
Yeah, I like to think that. But, I mean, every team goes through sort of adversity. Every team goes through sort of spurts where they're not feeling good about their game. Obviously, we're not playing to the standard we'd like to play to, and that's kind of what happens. I think guys still believe in each other and believe in each other and want to make plays and work for each other, and that's how we're going to get out of it. We're going to work for each other, work through it. Obviously, it sucks right now, but the only way out for us is to work through it.
Jeff, how much is the frustration with the puck and the mistakes just carrying over to the defensive side?
I mean, I guess maybe a little bit, but it's creating opportunities, I think, is the big thing for us. Is when you try and make plays that aren't there, it opens up the ice for them, because guys aren't in position to get back or in position to get in front of their guys, and that's what leads to odd man rushes and chances for them.
Are you shocked by this? I mean, 2.5, 3 weeks ago, you guys were in a playoff spot.
I mean, no one's happy with how it's gone. I think for us, it's what we can control is how we play the next time we go out. Look at sort of the film and come back to work and practice, work through things and get ready for our next game.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Skinner on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Jeff Skinner, he got his 30th of the season, and again, that's the sixth time that he's hit 30. So a nice milestone for Skinner, but obviously, as you can hear by the tone of the interview, not happy with the team results. 7-3 Nashville victorious. The next game for the Sabres, Friday, 7 o'clock. Lindy Ruff in town, the New Jersey Devils, who are on their way to the playoffs. We'll see the Devils here on Friday at 7, and then the Islanders on the road Saturday. That one, a 5:30 start from Long Island. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you on our flagship on WGR, more postgame coming up, including we'll hear from Don Granato, we'll hear from Paul Hamilton. We'll update you on the standings. Final score again, Predators 7, Sabres 3. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Penalty over to Joakim Harju as he jumps back into the play. Predators with a quick pass up onto the wing in the slot. Threaded save made by Luukkonen.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen coming in relief of Craig Anderson there with the save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. New inventory is arriving daily. Luukkonen went 6-for-6 in his time in. A couple of nice saves. Anderson struggling, obviously, 6 goals against. The 7th goal went into the empty net for a 7-3 final. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center on the post-game show, Brian Colziel with you. We'll be heading down to get Sabres head coach Don Granato coming up in just a little bit here to hear his thoughts on this one. Obviously not what he and the Sabres would have wanted in this game. Let's go ahead now and get our first response from the fans, and it is brought to you by ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi, first and faster in any size disaster. Visit TeamLuzzi.com. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at Brian WGR. Well, got some fans here that, of course, are calling for Devin Levi. He was up in the press box tonight, and I know that I'm sure he might be chomping at the bit to get there out on the ice. I think there's an opportunity for him to play maybe in one of these games upcoming here. The Devils and the Islanders back-to-back. We'll see. Sabres maybe get him a couple of practices here over the next 2 days. We'll see. Let's see, here we got, Jill says, play the kid, time to do it here. Rick says, when is Levi going to get in? Yep, fans definitely calling for that, for sure. Understandable, there's excitement, the goaltending has not been good. Alan says, let us not forget New Jersey's young, they've never been through it before, where are they? Oh, they have goaltending, that's the difference, that's true. Devils are a young team with some nice young players with a lot of talent, just like the Sabres. But New Jersey has definitely gotten themselves a lot more in terms of goaltending than Buffalo has had here. I mean, the goaltending, as we know, has very much struggled here. Craig Anderson, unfortunately, looks like maybe either he's not fully right or just, you know, maybe it is, you know, a nice time for him to kind of head off into the sunset on an outstanding career. Other than the Florida game, he struggled in his couple of starts that he's had so far in this one. So, yeah, I think, you know, getting Devin Levi into the rotations coming here. Also, Eric Comrie is skating. So, for whatever that's worth, I don't know how that goes into the mix now with four goalies. But the Sabres have four goalies here coming up with about a dozen games to go. So, who knows how it's going to break down. I'd like to see Levi play in at least maybe four of these games. I think you can get him one coming up here in this back-to-back with New Jersey and the New York Islanders on Friday and Saturday. I don't think Anderson plays in either of these two since he just played tonight and struggled. So I think maybe you can go Lukanen in one of them and Levi in the other, however you want to do it. And then on Monday, you can come back. And, you know, if Lukanen really looks good in one of those games or if Levi looks good in one of those games, maybe whoever plays Friday, if they look good there against New Jersey, you can come back with a Monday against Montreal. Or if Comrie's ready, that could be a spot to put him in. You know, at this point with the playoffs, obviously not really much in play in terms of the discussion. To me, it's how do you want to set up Devin Levi to play the rest of the way? You know, kind of where do you think it fits best for him to go? And then from there, fill in the blanks. You know, I guess I would say, you know, just the honorable thing, you give Craig Anderson the last home game of the season on April 13th against Ottawa to kind of give him his send-off. Other than that, like, show me the spots with, let me see, there's four left in March, and then there is seven left in April. So there's 11 left. I'd like to see Levi play four. That gives you, what, seven others? You can give two to Anderson, three to Lukanen, maybe one or two to Comrie if that's how you want to play it. The rest of the way. Again, I don't need to see Eric Comrie play anymore, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to actually just put him in at all any other points here. I still think that they want to play Lukanen in the majority of the games, but I'd be fine with Levi playing the majority of the games the rest of the way. I'd find a spot for him either this weekend and Friday or Saturday. Monday, you're playing Montreal. There's a little internal pressure there playing a team, you know, you grew up with there, and there's going to be a ton of Canadian fans in the building. I feel like I'd almost feel like it's a more comfortable spot to put him in on Friday against the Devils, although it's a really good offensive team. So, you know, you want to wait and play the Islanders, a team maybe that, you know, at least they shouldn't have to put up, you know, can put up seven or eight goals. Right now, you know, the goaltending is very, very bad, but the defense in front of the goaltending, I think, is even maybe worse. So, you know, is Levi walking into a great situation at the moment? I don't think so, but you got to play him. You got to see what you got here. You know, what would it take for him to think that he could actually be the guy in Buffalo next year? I'm not taking that out of the equation. I know probably GMs and scouts would say there's no way that you can bank on Levi being your one next year, but, I mean, this guy's coming in with one of the most impressive, if not most impressive, resumes of any U.S. college goalie. So if he performs, he plays four or five games here and looks really, really, really good, I think you at least have to keep the door open. What cannot happen is have the season start next year with Lukanen and Comrie and no one else. If you decide Devin Levi, it's best for him to be in Rochester next year, okay, fine. I'll be disappointed, but I'll respect the decision if he's not ready. I mean, he's, you know, it's not Devin Levi's fault that he's at the age that he's at coming out of college. Understandable. So if he made the jump to the NHL, it would be incredible for this organization. It would just be incredible based upon what we've seen in goalies in terms of their past track record in terms of development. With that said, if that's the case, if he starts the season in Rochester next year and Lukanen and Comrie are your goalies and this is how you're going to go ahead and make the serious push to the playoffs, like, that to me, I would say that cannot happen. There would have to be some other move made. Whether you've decided that Lukanen's not a number one and you move him in the offseason, or you've decided that the Eric Comrie experiment, you've seen enough and you move him, I think something else has to happen beyond having Lukanen and Comrie as your two goalies. I would be very, very disappointed if that ended up being the look that the Sabres gave come next October here to start the season, to say, hey, this is our plan to run with these two guys as far as it takes us. I think there has to be an improvement. You know, since January 1st, the Sabres, in terms of, you know, the expected goals saves numbers, they've been the worst in the NHL. We had a couple of nice performances from Lukanen during the win streak. Like we said, that great performance from Anderson against Florida. It kept him in the race. It had him in the race. Points percentage-wise, it had him in a playoff spot. But the wheels have fallen off. Clearly, injuries to Samuelson and Tuck were a piece of that. But the biggest reason has been the poor defense in front of the goalies and the goalies just not being able to stop the puck at any sort of regular basis like we saw earlier this year. 7-3, the final. Again, we're waiting for Sabres head coach Don Granato. Let's get the three stars in. All of them from the Predators, no surprise here. Star number three, Tommy Novak. He had a goal and an assist, 2 points, and a plus three in the game. Second star, Philip Tomasino. He had a goal and two assists. Or sorry, goal and one assist, plus two. Six shots on goal, star number two. And the first star of this one tonight goes to Luke Evangelista. Evangelista had two goals. He made it 4-1 and 5-1 along the way. He also had two assists, a plus four, and seven shots. So Luke Evangelista is your electric player of the game. Brought to you by Town Auto Group for an electrifying performance. Check out Town Auto Group's lineup of EVs. Sabres fall in this one tonight by a final score of 7-3, as the Sabres will next be home against New Jersey on Friday. The announced attendance tonight was 13,043 at KeyBank Center. Injury report time here. Next, it's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Still officially two injuries on the report for Buffalo. It is Matias Samuelson out week to week, as well as Eric Comrie. He still listed as week to week, although he is skating, so I got to think that that's coming pretty close to this point. The injury to Samuelson's officially upper body. The injury to Comrie is officially lower body. The other scratches tonight were all healthy scratches for Buffalo. Jordan Greenway, his first scratch since coming over in the trade deadline. I think I was fine with that. Vinny Hinostroza, a healthy scratch. Jacob Bryson, a healthy scratch. And then, of course, Devin Levi, officially now on the roster. He was a scratch as well. Samuelson and Comrie were the injured players scratched as well tonight. And as we said, now Buffalo, 11 games left. So let's take a look at the standings here. With this loss, obviously, for the Sabres, for those of you still interested kind of in, you know, what the playoffs are looking like, well, we know it's not good. You know, don't have to be following the team intently to realize that they are in big trouble in the standings if you're still thinking about a playoff push. The Islanders, by the way, are winning 6-2 against Toronto right now. So, you know, that's obviously not good. The Capitals lost for what that's worth. Florida lost for what that's worth. And Ottawa lost for what that's worth. So we'll get you the full standings in a moment. Don Granato is ready. Let's go live.
And we've all understood what you've been saying the last week, week and a half. You know, these guys got to get through it. They got to play through it and everything. But it's not working. I mean, this was the worst thing that's ever been. The turnovers, the outnumbered. Isn't there something more you can do as a coach?
There is, absolutely, Paul. You do more every day based on the situation. They're not quite sure. There was a long question there, but we will get through this. We'll get through it. There's no doubt. I can stand here with no doubt and tell you we will get through this. I have been through much more difficult and challenging situations as a coach. We will get through this. Completely confident in that.
I guess I apologize for interrupting you there. What makes you think that you can turn them around mentally? Because right now it seems like every play they make, they're expecting to make a mistake, and it often happens that way, especially when they're handling the puck.
I agree with what you're saying. They're absolutely pressing. They're playing with a lot of anxiety. I will say we are, as a team, playing with anxiety. It's the first time for lots of guys they've been in the positions they're at and feeling the pressure. And you're seeing players and a group not handling the pressure the right way. They're challenged to keep and do simple things because of pressure. You look at our team through the year. We've been in lots of situations. We know we have a good team. We know we have a team with skill and capable team. This is what happens when your first goes with pressure, and we struggle to make simple plays. It's not it, it it's not system breakdowns. It's not, it's pressure and feeling pressure of mistakes, fearing mistakes. I think if you look at it, the younger guys, even tonight, you look at Quinner, JJ, Cuzzy, they were probably three that played fearless. They probably handled the puck better. They probably made plays better. They didn't carry anxiety. The older players that feel more responsible, they feel they should do more. Every possession, they press. They try to make the perfect play. You could see it. You could see it before it happened, the start of the game. We had multiple opportunities to create a shot in the offensive zone. We forewent them, and we weren't even moving to set up a shot. We were looking for another pass. It's a false sense of confidence. I'm not saying our guys shouldn't be confident, but when you're trying to go through coverage and foregoing setting a shot, you're in the offensive zone and you're looking for complex things. You lose track of what's simple. How to set up a shot, which is stress on the other team. When you're trying to set up a play, it's stress on, it's going to end up being stress on yourself, and then that's going to compound and complicate. And because we're in a series of it, the last few games, it'll compound faster. And so we will get through this. Like I said, it's not you know what I walked into. We'll get through this. We will. It won't be better.
What's the way to prevent that sort of snowball effect? If one mistake turns into two, three,
it gets out of hand. You know, you have to have the ability to keep things in the game simple. And that's what we're going to learn through this, how to keep it simple. You just need to get through the neutral zone. You don't need to make a perfect play through the neutral zone. You just need to get depth. You don't need to make a play through sticks to get it. So the resolve is you'll learn to keep the game simpler. You'll learn a greater respect for how to keep the game simple. And it'll be situational awareness. When you have a team that's a growing team, that's what they have to learn, situational awareness, how to keep the game simple, how to wear on the other team. We're doing things that will wear on ourselves through the course of a game. Like I said, trying to pass through a stick, trying to pass the puck into the net, and pass up shots in the process. Those will come back and compound your issues. So for us, this is a big, big learning moment. And we have the attention. We know we have to pay attention to those types of details. We as coaches can present that to them. We will, and I stand here with conviction, knowing that we will be better through this.
You called a timeout, you know, for obvious reasons, but what did you see in your guys at that moment? Do you sense the doubt? Were they listening? What was your sense in that timeout?
You're going to have doubt. It's not unnatural to have doubt. Who wants to go in front of a crowd and they care? They have pride. If they didn't care, you know, we would probably be in less of a situation than this. They wouldn't care. It affects them. Everything affects them. Puck going in their net affects them. They feel like they let people down. So they're not within themselves. They're not focused. And so, you know, so obviously the position I'm in is a leadership position. So you can lead. You got to help them get through it. You got to give them the confidence that they're going to get through it. And I can't give them the confidence if I can't give them the clarity. And I don't have, we will get the clarity. They will get it. That was how we got to where we were, and it'll happen. But you, I don't know that this was preventable. It could be, sure, certainly we have some injuries, but we still are a young team that when I watched film 3 months ago, I know they need to develop. We need to develop. We need to get better. So in awareness of those details, like I said, when you win, it's harder to coach when you win because teams don't have to pay attention to details. They can outscore their mistakes. We outscored some mistakes this year, and now we're obviously not doing that, but now we're fearing mistakes. We're noticing mistakes, and there's a form of paralysis that comes in there. There's a trauma that comes in there, and so this to me, you know I've stood here many days frustrated. Effort, lack of effort, lack of compete frustrates me. We're in a stage of a little bit of paralysis, and so, you know, like I said, we'll gain clarity through this, we'll become better through this, and we'll compete harder.
Did you consider going Craig O'Reilly?
Yes. Yes. Did.
Coach, you talk about the different emotions during this press conference. What is it going to take to give this team the razor's edge on defense that it needs so desperately?
You first of all, if you're anxious in a game and you're trying to, you're forcing plays, you're not going to be good on defense. Just that's an automatic. So, you know, the more you press, the more pain you're going to feel on the defending end because you're pressing. So that's what I'll say to that.
Craig is a veteran, obviously. Is he the type, when he gets pulled, does he just leave it alone? Does he say something to you? Or does he just sit down and leave it alone and say, let's play?
He's a pro. And I talked to him right after, and I talked to him for quite a bit after. And it was he and I are close, and we're close with him as a coach. And so, yes, we talked about it and conversed on it. And I have a lot of respect for him, and he knows I have a lot of respect for him. But yeah, we talked to it. You're contemplating from four on, and then you're battling. You know, is it the right to put the next guy in? Is he want to battle through more? And so it's without question, it's on my mind at that point. My conversation was with him on that, and that'll stay between he and I.
What about Luukkonen? I mean, he came in, he had to face some real tough chances too, and he seemed to be up for it. I mean, you have to be pleased with what you saw with him.
Absolutely, and that's the other side of it. If we're playing with this anxiety, do we want to put the second guy in that? And that is a factor. That's a component of a decision you're making there. There's two sides and multiple sides, I guess. But I was very happy with Opie. Opie looked great in there. Thought he came in and did well.
Coach, with a young team, 21 games in 32 days, how do you exactly keep them in it? How do you keep them in it? How do you keep them motivated? How do you keep them focused?
They love the game, so they want to play. I don't think motivation is the problem. I mean, these guys aren't going to sleep very well. They care. They want to do right. So there's no motivation issue. It's you've got a lot of guys pressing. We've watched these guys perform on instinctive, intuitive sense, and everybody that's familiar with them sees they're playing tight. And the margin for that is it's advantage other team when you're that tight. You worry about repercussions. This is a tough business when you're worried about that.
How do you make sure that being in this position for the first time and having negative results like this, like that it doesn't become negative experience for these guys, I guess?
They believe. They know they're better than this. They know it. They know they're more capable than this. So, again, clarity. And clarity is to bring clarity to why. Simple. Being able to make and find a simple play, and I'll use just the same visual of create a shot instead of a perfect goal when you're in the offensive zone. Instead of worried about trying to get through the neutral zone perfect, let's just try to get depth into the offensive zone. Simplify first your mind and then tech. And again, we can bring that clarity to them.
All right, that's Sabres head coach Don Granato. His press conference brought to you by Salino Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Tempstar Emergency Services. Specialists bringing heat on and off the ice. As we bring it back up here to the press box, a lot there from Sabres head coach Don Granato. Says, he used the word pressure a lot down there, saying, hey, guys, maybe not handling it well. He says the guys are feeling like they're letting people down. He says, look, it's my job as a coach, as a leader, to try to help clarify, which hopes bring back confidence. Was interesting to hear him say he wasn't sure even if this, the Sabres going into this, quote, pressure spot here, hey, they're right on the doorstep of the playoffs. Huge games, these head-to-head games with the Islanders and the Capitals. And then he says he's not even sure if it could have been preventable. So, Pat, I thought that was kind of an interesting thought there, that he's almost, there was a moment there. I don't know if that was the wording maybe he even wanted to use, but he said he wasn't quite sure if it wasn't even going to be preventable, as if to say, like, this, the pressure, he keeps using the word pressure. The train is coming. I'll use the train to be symbolic for the pressure here. The train is coming. It's coming at us fast and furious, and and the majority of these guys have never felt it before. Could I have even kept it on its tracks, I guess, to kind of paraphrase here?
And I think that is, he's kind of going down the road of, look, it's a young team. It's a team that you've got to, the only way to learn is to experience it. Some teams experience it worse than others. And the thing, we kept talking about it, you know, the midway point of the season. I know the games weren't pressure-packed late last year, but the Sabres were winning games when the building was full, when they were playing some very good teams. What happened at the beginning of this year when the fans started coming back and we had full buildings and you put together a winning streak and you start moving up the standings? That adds pressure. But for whatever reason, now that you're to a point where the Sabres were in a playoff spot, they were right there, 2 weeks ago? And that's when things started to turn. So, yes, there's only a few players on this team that have ever experienced being in the playoffs and being in a spot. Even some of the veteran Sabre players that have been here for a while, I don't know, there aren't many left, but they really haven't been in a spot before like this. So they can't even lead by experience. There's very few people that can, and you kind of have to put the faith, I guess, that this team that has figured out a way to learn from its mistakes in the past is somehow going to find a way when this is all said and done, when this season's over, to take these experiences and build on them, make them a better team, you know, have it kind of scab over and come into training camp next year with those expectations, because the expectations aren't next year just get to this point. It's getting past this point, so you have to learn how to manage those pressure situations better so that you don't end up with losing 10 out of 12.
Yeah. 7-3 the final. Let's bring Paul Hamilton in now down from the media room. Paul, Don Granato had a lot there. Used the word pressure quite a bit. Even said, look, as a leader, as a coach, like, my job is to clarify, which hopes brings back confidence. And then he said something I thought was interesting. He said, you know, with how they were in a playoff spot or about to be on the verge of one, and that he didn't even know if maybe what they knew was upcoming with these pressure moments and these head-to-head games that were massive in the standings, that he didn't even know if how this could play out was going to even be preventable. I thought that was a really interesting comment there.
Yeah, and he is right. I agree with him about the Cousins line. I thought they did play fearless. They seemed to be dangerous in the offensive zone. The turnovers weren't anywhere near as plentiful from them. The guys I don't understand, and you know, I think Alex Tuch is a great player. I think he's really turned into a 30-40 goal type of a guy. But let's be honest, in the first period, it was turnover after turnover after turnover. He came through the left circle. He always shoots. He tries to pass to Thompson and hits a skate. Turnover. There it goes the other way. This is a guy that's played 66 playoff games. If anybody's goofy or jumpy, it shouldn't be him that's feeling the pressure. He understands from playing with the Vegas Golden Knights what pressure is. So that's where I'm puzzled. That's where I don't understand. And I understand what Don Granato's been saying, and he's been very consistent in his message throughout. And I also believe him when he says with conviction that they're going to get out of it, but it's getting worse. And his players are listening, because if you listen to the post-game interviews and him, they're all saying the same thing. So they're all on the same page when it comes to why this is happening and what's going on. But as a leader and as a coach, right now, in my opinion, I feel he just doesn't know what to do anymore other than let them play through it and try to give them the information on how to do it. But it's not working. It gets worse every single game. I have the turnovers in the first 40 minutes of this game, it was almost every time they had the puck, and the bad decision, step up, 3-on-1, oblivious to a guy that's behind you, breakaway. It was just outnumbered after outnumbered for various reasons. And maybe he's right. Maybe they will finally get through it. But it's gone on long enough right now. These are good hockey players. 3 weeks ago, this was a good hockey team, wasn't it?
Yep.
They were a very good hockey team. What happened to that team? You can't get this goofy. I've covered hockey for a long, long time. I've seen tank years. I've seen a lot of bad hockey. I'm trying to remember where I've seen the bottom fall out like this, where a team that really around the NHL, not just in Buffalo, but people around the NHL are like, look at the Buffalo Sabres. They're noticing, type of a thing. This is a good hockey team. And I could see this going for a while, but it just gets worse and worse. Right now, if they play like they did in the first 40 minutes, there isn't a team in the National Hockey League they can even come close to. They will get blown out every single team in the National Hockey League play if they play like that in the first 40 minutes. And I just get the impression of the feeling, and this is my opinion, that right now Don Granato is out of answers. Do I think he needs to be fired? Absolutely not. But I think not only is this a learning moment for his players, I think this is a learning moment for him and his staff. And I think they have to figure out a better way to figure this out and to steer their team out of this.
Paul, could we also be seeing Don Granato in terms of how you said maybe he's having struggles approaching this? As a NHL head coach, this is essentially his first time as a head coach coaching a whole very group of young players going into a Stanley Cup playoff race. Could that be a piece of maybe what you're thinking about here, that he also maybe is trying to feel out what are the right moves for him to make?
Absolutely. And, he says every good team goes through this. And I know he believes that with his heart. He's not going up there just BSing us just so he could say something. He believes that in his heart. And he's right. Every team does go through it. But I don't remember the Tampa Bay Lightning being this bad at all in their ascent up. I don't, the Colorado Avalanche, yeah, they started way back until they made some high draft picks. But once the high draft picks came in, I don't remember them being this bad. So, yes, this does happen to everybody, but not like this. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And, they're facing a Nashville team that came in with a losing streak that just lost 7-0 on Sunday. And
you gave up seven again at home.
Yeah, and you give up seven again. And by the way, it's over at 6-3. I'm sorry, it's over. You're not playing well enough. You're going to catch them. From a psychological standpoint, I do not pull my goalie there and let that seven spot get up there. I just don't. Because now those players have to answer exactly what you just said. It was an empty net goal. Meant nothing. But we're standing here talking about they gave up seven again. And from a psychological standpoint, I thought that was a huge coaching mistake. You're not coming back from 6-3. Not the way your team is playing. Don't give up that seventh goal. In Boston, it's 3-0 with 5 minutes left. I thought the psychological damage that they did by pulling the goalie, letting that fourth goal in, and then when you're done, it's 7-1 because your team basically didn't know what to do after that. That's another thing that and waiting to pull the goaltender. I'm sitting there thinking, he's not going to pull the goalie. He's going to let Anderson sit through this whole thing. And I think that's something he needs to examine too and sit down and think about. When is a good time to pull the goalie? Because right now, I don't think he's making good decisions when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that throughout the year, the when to call timeout, when to change goalies. He struggles with it. He definitely does. He's very concerned, I think, with how the goaltender is going to react. And then also, as he said, maybe throwing the goaltender in. And I think Craig Anderson has been around enough coaches and enough teams and enough situations to realize that, when you're having an off night, or you even know when your team's having an off night. Sometimes the goalie gets pulled at the expense of the team. And I think Craig Anderson's old enough and has experience enough to understand that. So if Don Granato is sitting here worried, like, hey, am I going to lose Craig Anderson here? Like, I don't want him to even think about that. It should be, at this moment, what's the best way for me to possibly maybe win this game or get back into this game? I can't be sitting here thinking, like, well, is Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen going to be good to go in here? Like, I don't know.
And you know what?
These guys are professionals. I know.
You want to talk about a growth moment? There was one. I thought he was darn good when he went in. He made some great saves after he went in for Anderson. Didn't give up any goals. So if you want to – there was one thing – two things. I agree with him. I like the Cousins line. And Luukkonen coming in and playing very well. How much confidence that gives him, we'll find out as we move forward. As far as Craig Anderson goes, if he was sitting here talking to us, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think he would tell us he didn't play his best today. But he also, how many goals were not two-on-ones, three-on-ones, two-on-ohs, and breakaways? Were they all that?
Yes.
And, of course, one from the guy coming in from the point, and everybody's standing there watching him, but nobody's covering him, and McDonough. You know, so, but you know what? You need to make a big save. And they didn't get any big saves, you know, when those things were happening. Are they easy saves? Absolutely not. Have you hung your goaltender out to dry? You sure have. But if you can make a couple of big saves in there, maybe have a couple of those not go in, maybe when Tage Thompson rips home the 5-on-3, you're not so far behind, and you still got a power play. And all of a sudden you get that, and then maybe Cousins in front of the net, all of a sudden you might have a tie game on your hands. You know, if you would have gotten a big save along the way. And Craig Anderson this year has made a bunch of big saves. His save percentage coming into the game was excellent. But tonight wasn't his night.
Yep. Okay, Paul, a couple of off days from the game action and then back-to-back Friday, Jersey, Saturday on Long Island. So I'm sure fans at this point are ready basically for the last question of when is Devon Levi going to get in. So I'm sure that'll be your thoughts here over the next few days and get some interaction.
Can I just say to anybody who wants to know when Devon Levi is going to get in, is that a good idea?
Well, I think that's a good debate.
With what we're watching now, with the turnovers, and everything's a breakaway, everything's a 2-on-1, everything's a 3-on-1, everything's a 2-on-0, is that a good idea?
I think right now any goalie is going to struggle in front of this team.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to throw him in that until this team figures it out.
I'm not saying play him or don't. I'm saying right now I think whoever's in net is going to have a tough go at it for sure with how they're playing defense.
Yeah. Yep.
I know I'm dodging your answer, but I think
Well, I'm kind of putting that out for everybody.
Yes, that's right. And how do you want the first experience for this kid to go? Now, maybe he says bring it on, and, you know, kudos to him if that's the case. But
there is no question in my mind he says bring it on.
Yeah.
None. 100% he says bring it on.
Yeah, he seems like that type. He's got that type of attitude for sure. Paul, thank you very much. We'll see you here Friday. Lindy Ruff and the High Flying Devils will be in town.
Okay, talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Paul. Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres fall 7-3. New Jersey next year on Friday. Before we go, let's bring Pat back in here for one more quick thought on just a big game coming up for Canisius. I know you've been involved in some of the broadcasts this year, Pat. Thursday night, ESPN2, 9 o'clock. They're in the NCAA tournament round one against Minnesota. Just kind of some of the headlines that you're seeing here as we go into this game.
Yeah, and it's a chance for Canisius for the first time in 10 years to be in the NCAA tournament. They've been in their Atlantic Hockey Championship a couple of times since then, but never able to get over the hump. And it's a team that's really grown together. A lot of these players have been in the program. They're upperclassmen now. There are a couple of graduate transfers in playing their final season. But with Trevor Large, who is now into his sixth season, really building with a lot of these players, the goaltender Jacob Barczewski, or even some of their senior captains and graduate students, player like David Mellor-Ragney, who's a defenseman, Keaton Mastrodonato, their top scorer this year, they've been the leaders of that team. And you talk about leading in pressure situations. Canisius actually won four straight elimination games going back to when they defeated Army in Game 3 of the Best of 3 series, fell down one game to none against Niagara, won the next two, and then win their conference championship. A lot of it was due to the goaltending. A lot of it was due to their upperclassmen having that experience in finding a way to get that one goal they needed.
Springboarding this berth into the NCAA tournament, what does that do for building this program going forward here? They obviously moved to this Harbor Center, you know, a handful of years or so ago. It was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Envision of, hey, we want to become an elite Division I hockey program. Well, making the NCAA tournament, you can put yourself in that category, but Like, what does this berth do, and maybe how do you springboard it going forward?
I think it's a great opportunity for recruiting, because what better way? What do we see in the NCAA basketball tournament? You've seen teams take one trip into the tournament and use it as an opportunity to grow the fan base and grow your range in terms of people knowing who you are. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people tuning in on ESPN2 on Thursday night saying, who is Canisius? Where is they? What is a Golden Griffin? What, yeah. You know, all these different things. Florida Gulf Coast, remember when they went on their run to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament almost a decade ago? Who knew outside of that pocket of Florida who that team really was?
Yeah, didn't their website crash when people were starting to search
right.
who they were? Yeah.
Was it Shaka Smart when he went yeah. to start leading VCU? His phone number was still on the school directory on the on the web.
Yeah.
People could call Shaka Smart. So, again, it's if Trevor Large can help build this program into one that takes this year and builds it into a multi-year, you know, maybe they don't make the tournament next year, but a couple of years from now that they're back in it again. Now you're probably watching it as a high school student saying, where is that place? I might want to play there, and then use that as a great recruiting opportunity.
We saw a 16-1 this year in the men's basketball tournament. We saw a 1 also go down last night in the women's basketball tournament. Hockey, can a 16-1, like, do you know in the past how it's happened? I guess, how big of an underdog is Canisius in this game?
I mean, this is essentially the 1-64, 1 yeah. versus 68, if Alabama had been upset. I mean, no, yeah. I know Purdue being such a big upset. I mean, it's even bigger than that because there's only 16 teams.
It's the top seed versus the last team in, essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
An automatic bid for Atlantic Hockey, and because Canisius was the 4 seed, they're the 16th seed. So, yeah, this would be... I think even a bigger upset because of how few teams make it and how at the top the top level talent is that much greater.
Okay, so Thursday night, Canisius, Minnesota, ESPN2, 9:00, and hope you can enjoy that game. And then Pat, you and I will be back here for New Jersey on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Sabres and Devils coming up. Sabres fall tonight 7-3 as we put a wrap here on the postgame show from KeyBank Center. Want to thank our crew, Frank R. Curry, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, Frank. Crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Jonathan Koziol, Paul Hamilton, our reporter down in the locker room. Shope and the Bulldog on the pregame show. Tom Maddy is our engineer. And for Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, I'm Brian Koziol. Thank you for listening. Nashville wins at 7-3. We'll talk to you here Friday night, Sabres and Devils, on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.